Every summer, thousands of people will head to beaches along Long Island Sound to swim and enjoy the shore. This week, some of them might even be lucky enough to witness one of the region's most impressive biological events, the mass breeding of horseshoe crabs. Today on Field Notes, naturalist Lori Sanders takes a closer look at these ancient creatures.
During the last month and a half, horseshoe crabs, by the tens of thousands, have moved into the shallows of our East Coast beaches to breed in mass. Although mating can take place day or night, the biggest breeding events occur during the highest tides of the year. Tonight is one of those high tides Jennifer Matei has been waiting for. A biologist at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, she's assembled a larger-than-usual field crew to help her tag and measure the crabs.
Mark, do you have a clipboard? Data sheets, tags, pencils? Okay, let's go.
With headlamps switched on, the team, many of them outfitted in neoprene waders, heads out to the beach at Milford Point. Matei hardly needs a light. She's walked this path hundreds of times.
This is the 10th year I've done this, but the very first year, we didn't tag very much. We were just trying to figure out how to mark the animals. We've been doing this in earnest, say, for 5 years, where we've been having teams of people tagging. So we have over 10,000 animals tagged.
Reaching the beach, the group spreads out and searches the water for horseshoe crabs.
So the high tide is just coming up, and we're looking for paired horseshoe crabs that are coming up to build a nest. And they dig a hole in the sand about 5 or 6 centimeters deep, and the female lays the eggs in the nest, and then the male fertilizes it.
The sound is so calm tonight, it's easy to see into the water. In less than a minute, a volunteer spots the first mated pair. The much smaller male, holding on tight to the female's shell with a special pair of claws, is perfectly positioned to fertilize her eggs. Matei says both of them are at least 10 years old, the minimum age for horseshoe crabs to reach sexual maturity. While we watch, a stream of tiny bubbles rises up from under the female's rounded shell. She's digging into the sand and flushing the fine sediments out of the nest before laying her eggs. During the nesting season, she may lay upwards of 90,000 eggs.
There are so many at this particular spot, you almost can't walk without stepping on them.
Oh, there are a bunch down here.
How many are there?
So far, I felt 3. Oh, we got one that's hooked. Got it. We have a mate and a single.
Okay, let's set up a tagging station. James, let's bring it over here.
We got a whole bunch.
So
here.
Basically what we do is we put a little hole in the side, and then we cinch a tag through, and then we get a measurement. And each horseshoe crab gets its own tag, and they have a phone number on them. And if you call on the phone number, we get a good idea of where they go, and we can track their migratory patterns that way.
I have a recapture. 06773. It's a male, and he's 21.5.
Send him over here.
By refinding tagged individuals, Matei can also learn more about their biology. How often they breed, how long they live, how far they travel. The information is of interest not only from a scientific perspective, but also an economic one. Up and down the East Coast, horseshoe crabs are harvested by the millions for bait. In Long Island Sound, that harvest is worth about $1 million a year. And in many states, horseshoe crabs are also caught and then released by fishermen who collect samples of their blood. The blood is sold to pharmaceutical companies, where it's used in a variety of medical applications, including as a way to make sure that vaccines and intravenous drugs are free from bacterial contamination. And Matei says, that's not all.
They're also of great ecological importance, actually. They have numerous organisms that live on or around them. They also have their connection to the shorebirds that depend on their eggs for food to fuel their migratory trip up to the Arctic to lay their own eggs. So they're a very important species, which people don't realize.
To try to ensure the future of Long Island Sound's migrating shorebirds and its horseshoe crab population, this March, Connecticut's Department of Environmental Protection adopted new limits on the commercial harvesting of horseshoe crabs. Over the long term, Matei's tagging and recapture data will give the state's wildlife managers a better handle on the size and health of the Sound's horseshoe crab population. But to get good data, Matei needs help.
So what I've been trying to do is to involve school teachers in this project. Mainly by myself, I could never tag enough or cover enough beaches in Connecticut. There's 110 miles of coastline, so I thought the best way, because this is such a benign creature, never harms anybody, and also I thought it would be a good way for school children to get involved with research, is that they could help me, either by going down to the beach and just counting or looking for recaptured animals, or they can actually, with their teachers, tag and record the data themselves and give it to me.
And that's been happening. In addition to the survey here at Milford Point, this year Matei has adult and student volunteers working at beaches in Clinton, Stamford, Fairfield, and Norwalk. And later this month, she'll be training another 40 teachers. For Field Notes, I'm Laurie Sanders.
16881.
To learn more about horseshoe crabs, visit the Field Notes webpage at WFCR.org.
Funding for this segment of Field Notes was made possible by the Long Island Sound Futures Fund, ensuring the future of the sound through education, research, and wise stewardship. On the web at www.longislandsoundstudy.net.